to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack Go.
Oh man, Packers look broken again.
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. What have we seen unfold? 3 straight losses, turmoil in the Matt LaFleur era. We have a tremendous show. We're talking Aaron Rodgers. We're talking what's wrong with this offense, the defense, and we're happy you're here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichsted. I'm your host. And Green Bay fell to the Washington Commanders 21-23, falling to 3-4, now 1-2 on the road. It's 3 straight games for the Packers, and we welcome you in here today to talk about what's going on with this team. How can this team get right? What are some moves that can be made? And some of your responses as well. So thank you for tuning in. We're live from Greece, Crete, the island of Crete. Packers fans, it is unbelievable. If you've never heard of it, look it up. Crete, Greece. It's like a hidden gem of Greece. And we are, you know, we would be a lot more mad if this wasn't the case. But yeah, we are still frustrated. And we're happy to have you here with us. I'm joined today by my co-host, KJ. KJ, how you doing?
Oh, what's going on, Packers fans? You know, I'm doing well, like Alex said. We'll be a lot more upset if it wasn't so beautiful here. So we just want to thank everyone for joining us. But I remember a few weeks ago, we tweeted off, what do you predict the Packers' record will be in the next 4 games? New England, Giants, Jets, and Commanders. And a lot of people, including myself, thought they could go 4-0. And they didn't. So that's got to change. You know, there's a lot of things to talk about. I know Packers fans did great in writing in their ideas and their responses. We'll probably get to a few of those later in the show. But really, you know, 12 looks pretty bad. I think on the final drive, it should be brought back up that the Packers received 3 first downs via penalties, Packers fans. Can you believe that? Like, the refs were really trying to help us. You know, they're like, oh my gosh, if the Packers don't make the playoffs, we're going to lose a huge audience. And that's billions of dollars in the NFL. So they're like, we got to do something to keep them in it. And plus, we don't want Dan Snyder's franchise to beat us. So long story short, Packers couldn't. I mean, they got the touchdown too little too late. The lateral was an incredible, fun play to watch, but it didn't work. So you're just left there shaking your head like, we didn't even do a Hail Mary. And maybe that's because 12 didn't want to throw a pick. Long story short, the offense looked pretty bad. 12 looks pretty bad. I'm looking at LaFleur a lot. It's bad, man. It's bad. Packers got to play better in a lot of ways, but thanks for having me. Let's get into it.
I think what we'll talk about is the initial thoughts, because the initial thoughts for me was that, hey, the Packers are off to a pretty good start in this game, right? Score 7 points early. Aaron Jones getting a reception touchdown, fights for it. He actually finished with 2 receiving touchdowns, 9 catches, 53 yards. And then Devondre Campbell had a tremendous pick 6 in which he took it house. And that was phenomenal to see. We talked about who's going to be the Packers' first interception pick 6 of the year. Was it going to be Rasul Douglas? Was it going to be Jair? Turned out to be Devondre Campbell. He finished with 12 tackles.
3 TFLs.
And so that was just off to a good start. And then, you know, despite the Amari Rodgers fumble, which Packers fans, we had been talking about cutting this guy in the preseason, we got a lot of heat for him.
Yeah, we got Packers a lot fans, of heat about it. I don't know if anyone remembers that. In the preseason, I believe it was, we said, do you think Amari Rodgers is going to make it on the roster? Because there was a lot of banter about should the Packers keep all their draft picks, and we didn't know if we were going to keep guys like Toure at the time. We didn't know if they were going to get plucked off the practice squad, things like that. We didn't even know if like a guy like Romeo Dobbs was going to make the team, although he kind of shined in camp really early on. But it was a legitimate question. Will the Packers bring back Amari Rodgers, who contributed next to nothing? They did. Packers fans asked the question. Packers asked the question. A lot of people want to know the answer. But we did take some heat for that. And now it looks just very obvious that Amari Rodgers has no business being on an NFL roster, let alone the Packers. So I wish him well. But, man, he's got to go.
Yeah, I think that was just lack of focus, man.
What does it say about the Packers organization that they keep letting these F-ups slide, Packers fans, right? It's like, it's one thing to make a mistake. We're all human. Every Packers fan is human, right? Everyone makes mistakes, and that's okay. But, like...
But it's not rocket science.
Well, exactly. He's being paid, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do a job here. And he's not doing his job very well. And there are a lot of players lining up to get another chance at that job. So we could do something like that. It's just not working. And I can't believe that we're still allowing this mediocrity, this trend of mediocrity. That's the right phrasing I want to use. Because they just keep letting these mistakes happen. They're not being corrected. That's my main frustration.
These plays are leading to the Packers getting completely derailed in terms of momentum. That's really the difference between these two teams. Not that Taylor Heinicke was better. Not that Brian Robinson Jr. is a better running back than Aaron. It's just that all of the momentum shifted to Washington. And the Packers' defense couldn't get a stop. And that was frustrating to watch the D-line get absolutely zero disruption. Pressure. No disruption. Every play looked like it was just executed by a bunch of scrubs. I mean, Washington is a team of scrubs, and they should never beat the Packers, especially
Washington
when you have Rodgers.
Never beat the Packers.
And Rodgers, I don't
this
know.
48.9 QBR.
If he Great. Really has a ton to throw out there, right? He's got Alan Lazard. He's got Sammy Watkins, Robert Tonyan. It's clear they have to make a move now, this week.
Well,
trade a player.
Alex and I were talking about
free
this
agent. I think
yeah.
it's got to be now.
Yeah. The Packers, in my opinion, they have to hit the trade market. They also have to hit the free agent market, and here's why. One, you know, Alan Lazard doesn't appear to be that number one. You know, a lot of people thought he might be able to take a step forward. Turns out he might be a little bit of a faux number one. Like, it doesn't mean that he's not a good receiver. Maybe he needs someone to pull the coverage off of him, like Devontae Adams or another talented receiver. But he, you know, look at this. Like, 55 yards. His long catch was 17 yards. That's not – and zero TDs. Like, that's not good enough. 9.2 average. I think I read something that 12's, like, average yards in the air last night – or yesterday was, like, 3.2 yards. It's, like, completely absurd.
His average is 5.5 yards on the game.
Yards per attempt. Okay. And then – you know, I was happy to see Samori Toure get in there. Amari Rodgers has got to get cut, so Samori Toure can get his, snaps, essentially. Sammy Watkins, it's almost like, do you step him?
No, you keep Sammy, because okay. Sammy is a guy you can deal with at the 5-4 part of your receiver.
He did make that nice catch at the end.
When we're talking about Sammy Watkins, is you cannot rely on Sammy Watkins. I don't know what they are thinking on this in terms of this, right? Sammy Watkins can barely stay in
the
field.
The Packers need help.
They need help at the receiver position now. And
wide receiver.
And the reason they have to make a trade
and trade market
is because the future is already leveraged. We've seen a lot of people saying, hey, it's time to sell. That, to me, makes absolutely
no
sense.
We're all
because
in.
The stocks are down right
we're
now, and we're all
season.
In with our chips anyway. There's no
yeah.
turning back. We've already burned the bridge. We've already burned the bridge.
Exactly, bro. And we've already signed all these guys' extensions, and it's a lot of bad money. We can't just start selling mid-season, like, 7 games after. We got to correct this. And I think one thing you could correct it is the coaching's got to be better. You know, LaFleur is way too
my
nice.
Goodness.
Like, that's something that I think we could get into in a sec. But, I mean, trade market, I think you got to get Chase Claypool. Like, the Packers.
I would love Claypool.
You have to get. You have
Jerry
to keep,
Judy.
You have to keep your top three picks, in my opinion. But I would trade a third for Jerry Judy. The Broncos lost again. They're playing awful. And I don't know where this Jerry Judy trade talk is coming from, but we're going to continue to throw some oxygen on that smoldering fire. And hopefully it turns into something where the Packers acquire Jerry Judy somehow.
Well, let's talk about Claypool, because I think Claypool could really shine in Green Bay, right? He's got an attitude, and he's got a type of demeanor where if he comes in and has a good week one in a Packers uniform, it may be clear to Aaron Rodgers, too, because I see 12 out there looking for a guy to throw the ball to. He was throwing it to Amari Rodgers, despite Amari Rodgers fumbling it off his foot, because he has no one to throw it to, Cage. He's still looking for guys that he can go to. Randall Cobb's not out there anymore. Randall Cobb is on the IR. He needs playmakers. And I think Chase Claypool, hey, he seems like pretty good value for his buck. You know, like,
that's
you're not going to burn like a top asset with him.
That's the main point, is we don't want to give up our top three draft picks, essentially. No. We want to add receivers to this group and that are talented in whatever way we can because we so desperately need them, like Alex described. But it's like, we don't want to necessarily trade a first when it might end up in the top 10, like certain people are suggesting. That's bad business. So what can we do? We can maybe offer, like, I'm hearing a late-round pick for Chase Claypool, but I'm also hearing that he might stick around now that Kenny Pickett's looking better. The Steelers obviously have George Pickens, so they have some talented wide receivers over there. Hopefully Claypool gets to the Packers. Maybe they have to increase the draft pick compensation. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, a top pick from Alabama from just a few years ago, great route runner. For whatever reason, he's making plays, but he's not really panning out like they thought a top pick would. I mean, if you can somehow get him for a third, like, go for it. You know, like, take the lineman, take the wide receiver, take the playmaker, take the defender in the first round, two rounds, you know, get those premium talents. But when it's the third round, like, look at Goot's third round picks. They're Amari Rodgers. They're the, Sean Ryan, I believe.
Yeah, Sean
Ryan.
It's
just bad, Packers fans. Let's offload that capital and turn it into something.
Well, you have to go for it too, Packers fans. Because you have to eliminate the excuse. Green Bay right now has this excuse fest where they're all pointing the finger around in the blame game. It's like the Spider-Man meme where you got the three Spider-Mans all pointing at each other.
Yep.
And you got Matt LaFleur, one of them, saying, hey, you know, I just think the guy needs to be, like,
he's clueless.
Shook, you know? Like, he's not the coach that would really shake your core, you know? And I think that's something a good head coach does, is he walks in the room and he goes nuts. Like, Bill Belichick, you know, even Bobby Knight, these guys listen. And Matt LaFleur, I think,
well, he's,
you know,
not
right now,
that
they might not...
He doesn't inspire confidence.
So he's pointing one way, you know, and the other guy, you got 12 defenders out there, people, you know, completely camps, 12's camp, saying, hey, he's got no weapons. He's got no weapons.
I think
that's part of the problem.
Aaron Jones is not a weapon, but we need to get more.
And then there's the people who are blaming Rodgers, and I see that, you know, halfway as well, because he's played like absolute trash, you know? So it's like three-way, but the scheme hasn't helped him at all. Matt LaFleur's scheme hasn't helped at all. So all three of those guys are really messing up. I think the easiest one to solve is you get a new receiver in there, one in free agent and one via trade this week. That's two new guys for 12. I don't care what
change
you gotta do.
Too. Yeah, right now the culture is not
good
enough.
Import
some confidence. Yeah, I agree, man. I think we were talking about it yesterday. Matt LaFleur is not a bad coach, and he's a good football coach. But is he a coach capable of winning a Super Bowl?
Oof.
I'm convinced. Like, I'm worried that he's not. Honestly, I just don't know if he can win a Super Bowl. I don't know if he can win the big game, because I think when push comes to shove and the room gets, you know, fewer and fewer competition in it, but the competition becomes more and more powerful and strong and fierce, he's going to get taken to the cleaners every single time. Like, there are simply sharper, more brilliant minds out there by a long shot, right? Like, when he's out-coached, it's bad, you know? Like, I mean, yesterday, like, look at their freaking personnel in Washington. They have Taylor Heinicke leading drives, flowing this offense. Like, the Packers offense, it's like your eyes are bleeding when you watch it. It's Packers fans, what do you think? Like, is it painful to watch our offense all of a sudden? Like,
it's painful to watch our defense too, bro.
See, the defense is like not as bad as the offense in my opinion.
No, it's not.
And I think the defense is a lot of the reason the Packers are like not even much worse. Packers
fans, this is the
lowest
plays
point total the Packers have had through seven games since 2006. The Packers right now are averaging something like 18 points per game. Rodgers wasn't even playing in 2006, which means it's the lowest points per game average of his entire career. If that doesn't concern you, I don't know what will. It really concerns me, and the main culprits, in my opinion.
No coaching.
We got to get more weapons. We got to get LaFleur's got to do anything, because so far he's being a terrible results-based coach this year.
Yeah.
Like, the offense looks terrible. The offense metrics are terrible. The points totals are terrible.
Here's something also I want to address.
The win-loss record's
terrible. A lot of people saying, to LaFleur's defense, hey, he's had three tremendous years. 13-3, but he's choked in the big games.
Absolutely.
And it's all about the here and now, the present with these head coaches. And, you know, sometimes
when you're this close to a Super Bowl, it's not about being nice, man. It's about getting across the finish line.
There's things that are pleasurable and things that are good for the actual good of the team.
Picture just like Muhammad Ali or whoever, you know, Rocky Balboa or whoever. And it's like Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, you know, a UFC fighter, whoever it might be. And it's like the, you know, really close leading up to the fight. And the training is going to get, you know, more and more intense. Obviously, like,
you need a good coach.
And basically, like, they're not going to be complaining that it's going to be too much, too easy, right? Like, they're going to be like, yo, I need to be going to push myself to the limits even further because I need to win this fight and win all this money. Okay. Like, winning produces money, which is what is one of the many things that motivates the players. Like, the players are motivated by legacy. They're motivated by, like, fan love for sure. But a lot of them are motivated by money, and that's produced by winning. Frick, man, winning's produced by working hard and getting your ass beat sometimes. Like,
I know.
Hopefully, like Rodgers said, this is a good thing for the Packers when they've just been, like, beat down so far below what we thought they would get beat down to that
they got nothing left. Right? Their egos are gone.
Exactly. Like, they're in a street fight and they're like, all right, I got to get scrappy. I got to get dirty. I got to get these touchdowns any way I can.
Yeah. I'm going to start going to anybody.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to fight and claw my way to each win each week. And that's what you have to do. So, it's got to change. Like, the Packers have no scrap right now.
They've got
no
big plays. We got to get our scrap back. Packers fans, I was talking about this.
No big plays at all.
No big plays because they don't even test these defenses right now in offense. If I was the offensive coordinator for Matt LaFleur calling the plays, what I would do every first quarter is see if Rodgers has it. I would get him on some simple plays, right? Some deeper routes and roll him out. Get him moving. Get him, like, playing football because those are the moments where he seems to shine. He can throw off his body. And when he sits back in the pocket and does these quick throws, he just gets into this, like, little robot mode. And it's horrible for the team. It becomes predictable. And part of his thing is he hits the unpredictable stuff, Cage. I really think you got to just let Rodgers play.
He's so concerned about his interceptions, Packers fans. And I love Rodgers. You know, you've heard us on this pod. You followed like Packers for a while. His stat line yesterday is just so Aaron Rodgers. Like 5.5 average, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 48.9 QBR and a loss.
Like 50 yards at half or something like that.
It's like, yes, he didn't throw any picks, but he hardly had a good game. And he threw a freaking
garbage
dink and dunk instead of the Hail Mary at the end. It's, you know, it is like something to be said about him not wanting to throw interceptions. And you're right, man. I think you got to take those shots. The Packers miss MBS. Like, I'm not here to bring up the past, but MDS is a huge piece of this offense because he can go get you 6 anytime you got him the ball. And frick, man, he's
missing Christian Watson.
Where is Christian Watson? Packers fans, have you seen him? Oh, wait, he's injured again. Oh, God.
It's tough. It's tough out here because you needed guys to step up this year with the rotation in the roster. And we're not seeing the step up. We're not seeing Bakhtiari step up and lead this offensive line. We're not seeing Jair come in and make a big third down play. I understand that Jair is a top tier corner, but when you're paying him the top tier money, I expect him to make a play on Terry McLaurin at least 1 out of 2 times. 1 out of 3 times. And it's like, dude, at the end of the day, you too, man. You got beat today. You know, like, they beat every single level yesterday. That's what the Commanders did. They beat quarterbacks. The running backs did not do well. The receivers looked deflated.
I mean, look at the Packers.
O-line, D-line.
You know, we're talking about LaFleur, right? Aaron Jones, Packers fans. 8 carries, 23 yards. It's a 2.9-yard average and a long of 8 yards. I mean, that's just a travesty. A.J. Dillon, 4 carries. This is your second-round pick from a few years ago.
15 yards.
3.8-yard average, long of 7. 12 total carries here, Packers fans. 12 total carries.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
The more you dig into it, it looks really bad on the floor. It really does. And I think the Packers need a little bit of a culture change right now where they're like not accepting this, frankly, BS and mediocrity. They need to bring in an Odell Beckham. They need to bring in a Will Fuller. They need to bring in a Jerry Jeudy or a, Chase Claypool. But those are my 2 free agents I target, and those are my 2 target targets I go after. I think the running back position, you have to just trust in the running game. I think you got to let 12 open up his throws more. And then all that in turn will help the defense. Like, the receivers need to catch the ball. That's an absolute fact. The receivers have not been catching the ball well. Everybody could be playing better. Every single person.
Yeah. Devondre Campbell, pick six.
I would say that was the highlight. You know, it just, this one play in the second half with Eric Stokes where he gets burned and then he commits a 15-yard penalty after the play for pushing the guy blatantly out of bounds and then, like, trying to talk smack. And then the ref throws the flag. Clearly, Eric Stokes, you know, is like, oh, man. But it was like, that's just kind of the Packers. They looked like losers in that moment. And he looked like he was just not playing winning football, not doing the winning things. And that's like the way to describe the team in a way, is no one's doing the things that'll help them win. Not in the coaching staff. It's like the scheme is like, doesn't seem like it fits the players. That's like the bad part. It's like you got puzzle pieces, Cage. They're trying to jam in the board because they can't, they're not looking for the other pieces.
I think all you got to do is just like, make a freaking slant route and hit him in stride. Straight up. Like, run some freaking streaks, man. You know, like, throw some screen passes. Like, make it tricky. You know, put some motion in there.
Rodgers seems like he wants to simplify the offense. Are you saying simplify the offense?
Let's read some top concerns for Packers fans. I'm pulling up by Packers. Over 600 Packers fans basically wrote in, okay. Well, Chase for 28 is concerned about the receivers. He wants to sign OBJ or DJ Moore for starters. And he also says we need some help at tackle. Okay. Oh, man. Aquaman thinks we need to get a new coach and prepare for the draft next year. Okay. Jesus Sebastian says he's concerned about everything from the lack of offense, the head-scratch defense, and who's going to be the punt kickoff returner? Like, that's so valid. You don't want to put Christian Watson back here. Blazian 318 says, offensive coordinator, in my opinion. That play calling is depressing to watch. Preach. James Schoquist says, they're so bland on offense. They have no chance. They will need to figure out how to scheme people open, unfortunately. And it's true. It's true.
I think it's kind of like,
James Fleming, what do you think, Al? This is a fire take.
You read it off to me and I'll give my...
The extreme regression of the QB. Everyone wants to blame the wide receivers, but a shocking amount of throws are behind the receiver or thrown at the receiver's feet. Rodgers is missing a lot of easy throws. What's your reaction?
Rodgers is flustered. Rodgers is flustered. It's pretty obvious that he's uncomfortable out there because, one, he's not playing up to his normal game. I see a little bit of regression. I see a little bit of, like, almost fear in his eyes that, hey, if Jordan Love gets a chance, he's maybe going to take this job because maybe Jordan Love is ready and, you know, I played, you know, not good enough where I deserve to play every single minute of every game. And so at the same time, I see an Aaron Rodgers who has no rhythm out there.
None.
Like, there's no rhythm. And when you have no rhythm...
Early on, like, the early
I don't
want
to have LaFleur schedule him rhythm. I don't think the idea is to schedule this team open. I'm saying scrap that at this point. LaFleur can't do that. Scheme? He can't scheme the team open. We've seen him try. He can't do it. It's time to unleash 12. Aaron Rodgers, put him out there. Have him stop thinking so much. Have them just start playing the game, being fun, rolling out, slinging it deep, not caring, Cage, about if the receiver's stats, running the right routes or not, you know, like throwing it behind the guy or not, right? You know, it's like, we're not going to work with this scheme. Everyone's got to play better. And it just seems like this is what I'm coming back to, is we're not doing what fits this team at all. It's like on offense and defense. Like,
I agree, man. We need to be a run-first team. That's where the strength of this team lies. Look at this. Luke Graves 13 says all three phases are below average. That's true. 12 looks disinterested. That's also true, I would say. The new receivers are struggling. I mean, that's true, but what's his name? Can't even get on the field.
The whole receiving core is struggling.
Amari is a liability. True. Defense is struggling against the run. Unfortunately, true. Poor decision-making on offensive plays, straight up. O-line is disastrous. It's been really bad. David Bakhtiari had to miss the game again. You can tell who have been paid recently. Complete drop-offs. 36 favorites. You know, this guy, he wrote in with a very well-thought-out educational, like,
fire take. We love that. Honestly. We love that, Packers fans.
The best part about this community is you can have any take you want. You know, it's welcome here.
We're built around the idea of discussion. We want people to discuss and educate each other's. And ask the tough questions, you know. Say, is that a flaming hot take? Explain where you're coming from. You know, don't just immediately blast back, but you just, you know, all about that discussion.
Yeah, so Ali Bailey says they seem to lose it in the second half of the game. Practically two different teams. First half, our Packers. Second half, totally 100 different. Crying emoji. And that's so true. Like, the Packers are, they're not great in the first half, but they're absolutely, like, way better than they are in the second half. The second half, they look feeble, man.
Dude, they just can barely string together any decent amount of quarters.
The play calling is terrible, Trenton Howe writes. The offense and maybe the entire team is no juice, capital J in the juice. They look like they're just going with the flow. No one on this team looks like they want to play. It's so interesting. A lot of people favorited that one, too. 22 favorites. Starts with coaching, offensive scheme, accountability, execution, gaps in roster, injuries, poor tackling. Basically, the problem is here, the theme, it's a lot of things. And what does that reflect on, Packers fans? It reflects on the coach.
The house is messy.
The house is messy right now. I mean, LaFleur is on the hot seat. Packers fans, what do you think? Do you think Matt LaFleur deserves to be on the hot seat? Because that is a controversial take. This man has actually had an incredible regular season record, but we all know in the playoffs he freezes like a deer in headlights and he ends up crashing and burning with the Packers each of the last several years, unfortunately. Because we've had such great regular seasons, it's been heartbreaking. But this year it seems like things have progressed on a whole new level, and if you look at the win-loss record, they already have. We've had as many losses as we did the entire last year and more than the previous 2 years in the first 7 games.
And I think this is one of those situations where we're not saying, like KJ said earlier, that LaFleur is a bad coach. He's a good, you know, he's proven he's a good regular season coach. But he might not be the guy when you're all in. We're all in. We've sent the entire army to war. And maybe it might be time, but we'll let that up to everyone to decide. Write us in your take. What do you think about LaFleur on the hot seat? I think that's a great convo to have with some friendly people that you know. Just send them that. Say, like, hey, Packers coach on the hot seat. See what they have to say.
It is a spicy conversation to have with your circle this week, Packers fans. I think that's the conversation to have because, you know, we're in the camp where we need receivers. We need weapons for 12. We have strong running backs. You gotta get your offensive line fixed. Like Stenovich, you know, he's the OC now. He was the offensive line coach last year. Have him work with the offensive line double time or something this week. You gotta get it better. But we need to add weapons. But honestly, other than that, you know, like we gotta have the coach focus on these details in every aspect. Like, the position coaches need to focus on details, and the head coaches need to hold, you know, the head coaches
on. Well, here's the thought I just had, KJ. Is David Bakhtiari a distraction for this offensive line finding its groove this season? Last season, he was out. You know what I'm saying? And it was kind of just the expectation that, hey, he's out. We're all going to have to step up. You know, like, someone's going to have to play there. This year, it's like, he's back, he's not back. You know, he's the star, you know, and he's 12's favorite, you know. And I think there's, like, some of these things going on in the roster and, like, in the house, you know. You get the feeling that the thing is not a well-oiled, team bus right now.
It's not working out well right now, man. It's not working out well. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. And I don't want to look at the Packers' offensive and defensive stats, and I run the stats, you know, very soon. Obviously, we'll be putting some stuff off like Packers, but I have a feeling I'm not going to like what I find. You know, I have a feeling that Rodgers' stats are going to be very hollow. I have a feeling that our offensive stats are going to be dipping. Our defensive stats are going to be dipping. But most importantly, it's results-based business. Our win-loss record is dipping. And that's the main thing, Packers fans.
We need to win games. And that brings us to Buffalo. Packers versus Buffalo.
Expectations are at the ground.
The number one team in the league. Honestly, let's just call a spade a spade. I think they're probably the number one. You can make an argument for the Chiefs, but subtract Tyreek Hill. I think I give the slight edge to Buffalo. Let's just say, for what it's worth, best team in the league. I'm 99% sure they have the best.
You know what this reminds me of, Cage?
What?
Home Alone, when the guy is like, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to get your no-good keister off my property. And he unloads into the guy, and the Bills are, they're now that final blow. Like, the Packers are down low, but I think the Bills are going to overtake the Packers. Like, I don't see Green Bay coming up and winning this game, Cage. And so, based on that, it's like, we're going to get hit one more time.
I mean, dude, I don't see any way the Packers win this game. I really don't. I think the only reason the Packers might win this game is simply because there's no one in the planet Earth who thinks the Packers are going to win this game. And that in itself is enough reason for spite motivation for Aaron Rodgers, who's motivated by spite. He might just use that. And you know Aaron Rodgers is motivated by spite, Packers fans? Like you're familiar with that. And it's a good thing a lot of times. Like, when Jordan Love was drafted, he went to have back-to-back MVP seasons. You know, a lot of people say that it was not a coincidence that they, you know, brought in someone who was pretty much there to be his replacement eventually, for him to, you know, really sharpen his preparation, like do whatever he had to do to really just elevate his performance, where there's no way the Packers would ever bench him or let him go. And now he's got this fat new contract that's really just not a great thing down the road for this franchise, unless 12 really keeps his play at an elite level, which he can. You know, we're going to have to get weapons, but yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Would you bench Aaron Rodgers next game?
Absolutely not, man.
What happens if in the first half next game, Packers down 21-0?
Well, then you might bench him because his thumb's probably messed up. You know, like, Jordan Love.
That tape, yeah, that doesn't help. You know, like, he's wearing a ton of tape on his throwing hand, Cage.
Yeah, I mean, he's just got to play better. Like, we could talk about the details all day. If 12 is hurt, he's got to sit for a few games.
That's what I think.
The Packers are about to get their keisters kicked this weekend. Hopefully not. Against the Buffalo Bills, like, hopefully 12 pulls a win out of the hat and the Packers are 4-4 and just knock off what a lot of people consider.
It would be a big momentum game. If you could beat the Bills, you could jumpstart this season.
Absolutely.
Back to 4-4.
And the Packers need that because they're dead in the water right now.
They need it.
So, Al, any closing thoughts?
David and Goliath this week. But David comes out on top. I think the Packers, they have a slight chance. They have a slight chance, but don't expect the best. Don't expect the best, Packers fans. I think they're going to be 3-5, and this train is going to, unfortunately, have to begin the week after the Bills. And you're going to have to get some receivers.
Yeah, it's like, I think the bottom is not yet here. I think the Bills might be the... You know, it's when you just get kicked when you're on the ground.
That's what I was saying about the filthy animals.
It didn't make any sense, but anyway. the Packers, I think they're going to get beat bad if I had to make a prediction this week. And hopefully that brings accountability. You know, I'm not sure what that accountability is going to be, but Packers Nation is pretty upset right now. And
and the rest of the league is loving it. Oh my gosh.
The rest of the league, we can't give them the satisfaction. We got to go and win the Super Bowl. You know, that's the goal. We're vastly off course right now, but don't worry. It's still, let's see, we're 7 games. We have 10 games, of course, correct. We're 10 games. We're
going to be here for a while.
Like, let's say even if we lose this game and we go to 3-5, we have 9 games left. You know, 11-5, 10-6. Or actually, 3-5, and then you have 11 games left. Or sorry, 9 games left. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, anyways.
We're on vacation.
Having trouble doing math right now. We're on vacation. But anyways, you know, long story short, Patrick says,
10 games left.
Let us know what you think about LaFleur, about 12, about, you know, is the Packers, are they gonna pull a rabbit out the hat this week, and are they going to win? Are they going to get their, you know, team slaughter this week and start the rebuilding process next week or something like that. it's going to be interesting. All I know is that we haven't faced this much adversity regular season since basically before Jordan Love was drafted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, since before Jordan Love was drafted was the last time we've had any adversity like this in the regular season. Where's the smooth sailing? You've been following us on Ike Packers for a while.
13-3 three straight years. Is 13-3
sailing. 13-3 13-4 I mean, that is spoiled city. And guess what? I don't care. I want a Super Bowl, and so do a lot of other Packers fans. We got to be doing better. This isn't one of those things where it's like, oh, just be happy you had a great run. It's like, we are happy. We are appreciative. But we're very close to a Super Bowl if we aren't playing like complete garbage like we have been lately.
I know.
Got to right this ship, Packers fans. So
talent is there. Have to go out, add some more talent. And we'll be with you every step of the way. We appreciate everyone writing in, listening to the show. If you want to help, please just share it with someone. You know, start a conversation about Ike Packers. Just say, hey, have you seen Ike Packers lately? And see what they have to say. KJ, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
We out.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go.
Don't keep me waiting, keep me waiting.